This is Peter Davison, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello, I'm Colin Baker. You lucky people, are listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, the best podcast on the pod.
This is Sylvester McKay, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
I'm a McGann, but probably not the one you're expecting. And you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 393. I'm Adam, and as I was saying off air, I haven't got a quote, so I'm going to pass it over to Rhys Parton.
I am never, ever getting spit from an ox ever again, no matter how much you need it.
And Debbie Melrose.
Tar very much, only hang around here to be insulted.
You were hoping for that quote, weren't you? Right, Mary isn't on because I don't know if she's woken up yet, and Kirby isn't on because his wife's had a bit of an injury and he's looking after his wife. And it dawned on me after 7 years of working with Kirby on this show that we only know his wife by Mrs. Bartlett Sloane.
Yes. Yeah. Mrs. Bartlett Sloane.
It's a bit like that old programme where I got She Who Must Be Obeyed from. What was that about? Rumpole of the Bailey, where the wife always has an inanimate name, doesn't actually have a real name. Just saying. Anyway, here we are. Thank you for coming on, Rhys, saving the day.
You're very welcome. I'm happy to be here.
I don't know how well this is going to work. I'm just going to check. Can you speak again? Let's see if I've got an audio. Go on in. Speak.
Okay, what would you like to say?
Audio. I've got audio.
Hello, how are you?
That's good, because this is being recorded through my laptop and not through the main computer, which has died. So this is a bit of a new setup and a slightly experimental setup for me. The YouTube is coming through my phone, so if that battery on that dies, great. So I'm watching the program on my big iPad Pro, so it's a good advert for Apple products. And of course, the MacBook Air is where I'm
here to speak over it.
MacBook Air is the where we've got the. I've just had to download Skype for, so it's all a bit of a mixed match, and I don't know if my bandwidth can cope with it, but we'll see, won't we? I know we'll cope with the video signal because that's coming through the Vodafone network at the moment. So here we go, right there. So Doctor Who begins with I've just jumped halfway through the episode, which doesn't help my cause. Yeah, wait for it to catch up with itself.
Well, it begins with the opening
going
credits.
This is going for the thing. Why is it doing that? Debbie?
What?
It won't go back to the beginning.
Why?
I don't know. Oh, it's doing a trailer. It's doing the trailer. I downloaded the trailer. Genius. Well, no, I didn't. I downloaded it, but it's only playing a bit of it. Oh, good grief. Right, I'm going to have to resort to YouTube here. With not YouTube, what's that thing? BBC iPlayer. I should have tested it first, should I? But I have had a few things on my mind. There's iPlayer. And that'll probably ask me if I've got a TV license and to log in. Oh no, it hasn't. That's unusual. Okay, I haven't watched this week's episode, by the way. We went to watch Sarah Millican at the Mayflower last night. It was very, very funny. It meant I couldn't watch Doctor Who, and I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here has started, so that was being watched this morning, or some of it was, at least.
Is that with Barrowman on it?
Barrowman! Yeah, he's on it. Just being himself. Right, I don't know how long that's going to last before he starts losing his rag, but it'll be interesting to see. Right then, Doctor Who. That's not the episode I wanted. Oh, this is great, isn't it? No, I don't want to watch BBC One Live either. Oh, dear. I might have to do a search here. Where's the search engine? Oh, there we are. Right, I press the search button. Doctor... Oh, right. So, what was the last episode? That's last this week's. Doctor Who. Doctor Who. There's a great picture they got for Kablam. The little picture thumbnail they've got on Oh, that's good. Right, hang on. It says 153 episodes of Doctor Who. I found it! Hurrah! Hey. What's the point of me buying it off blimmin' iTunes if I can't play it the way I want to? Yes, I have a TV license. Don't get me to log in. Right. Whee! Right, we got Doctor Who playing now. This is slick podcasting, everybody. And vidcasting, for that matter. I don't know why I bother with the video. Nobody's watching. Oh, actually, it does say two are watching. Oh, dear. I should really have a video light on.
No, you too.
Yeah, hello, you too. That's a band, isn't it? Right, so it starts with the title sequence, which I still love.
Me too.
Yeah, and then we are in, and I'm doing off memory because it doesn't fast forward very well, this. Yazzie's dining room, celebrating her nan's birthday. And her nan's giving out some heirlooms. And gives a piece of paper to her sister. I wonder if there's going to be any significance to that piece of paper somewhere along the line. And a broken watch to Yaz, who is her favourite granddaughter. slightly inappropriate statement, but there you go. It's funny, she's just, no, she should call her a favourite granddaughter, Alicia, when got hold of Deb's phone a while back and renamed her contact to Alicia, my favourite daughter. It's a certain amount of irony in that particular statement. But, yeah, so she is a bit coy about where she got the watch from and this, that and the other, which initiates some, what's the word for it? Makes Yaz want to know what went on, you know, in an earlier life. Curiosity, that's the word I was looking for, yes. So she goes and asks her mate, the doctor, if they can go back to the Punjab.
Quite alarm bells ringing at this point, you know, Billy Piper, you know, Rose.
Yes, I had those alarm bells too, my dear. Yes, but the doctor did make it quite clear that she wasn't to do anything that might, you know, change the fact that she exists.
And then they promptly do.
Do they go on? What did they do then that did that? Nothing. Okay, thank you for that.
What?
I said, what did they do that did that?
Well, just everything. They interfered completely.
They interfered a little bit. They didn't do anything that blatantly saved anyone's life or anything like that, which was the cause of, you know, when they, a Father's Day, I believe it
that's
was, wasn't it?
But you were waiting all the way through for them to do something.
But fortunately, she didn't.
Also,
otherwise,
the
that would
alien
have caused
assassin
issues.
Started it.
Yeah.
So they, like we say, they arrived in the Punjab, which somewhere abroad, I would imagine, is it not? I'm guessing.
You mean the location they filmed at?
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. And Kirby told us last week. Was it Spain? I can't remember.
I don't know. I'll have a look.
But it's obviously not in Britain.
He's going to be sitting there listening or probably watching on YouTube saying, I did tell you, it's blah, blah, blah.
No, he won't be doing that. He's probably in bed still. But although, you know, the summer we had, they could have filmed it in Britain. I found somewhere nice to film it, to be fair.
After
it was
the summer,
so ridiculously hot. So they bump into a chap on a cart. I can't remember his name, actually. What was his name?
Prem.
Pardon?
Prem.
Prem. What, the Premier League?
Prem.
Yeah, Prem. That's short for Premier League, isn't it?
You might play for it. I don't know.
Anyway, so they immediately ask him if they know, you know, the woman who...
Umbreen.
Know him. Yes. Sorry. And he's a bit suspicious as to why, but because he recognises the British accent, specifically of Graham, although, you know, they're all speaking English anyway, and the TARDIS would have translated, so... not sure they would be speaking... All of them been speaking English at this stage, but they might have been, I suppose. You know, the Raj was...
That's an interesting point.
You know, was about, or had been about, in India at this stage. And they get a lift anyway. They meet the holy man briefly, and they get a lift into a town, I suppose. Village would be more precise.
Well, it was more just a farm. They went to a farm.
A farm.
Yeah, but there's no one else around.
There was an implication that this farm area would become a city by now, which is quite interesting. But bearing in mind, you know, this is not that long ago.
Yeah, because Graham thought that where they were landing was supposed to be a city, but it isn't yet.
Indeed.
Yeah, and I'm quite surprised there was nobody else at the wedding.
Oh. They wanted to do it in secret.
Yeah, but it was
controversial date.
Yeah, the controversial religious connotations. Or should I say, not necessarily religious, it was more of a cultural thing, wasn't it? Yes. Mm. Or maybe a bit of both, perhaps.
Yeah, but not even anyone else, just them. That was a bit of a surprise, because you'd think that there would be at least a friend or someone who supported them.
Maybe.
You know?
Nope.
Yeah, but then there's no knowing if that friend would be captured by...
I suppose
all the gangs, and then say that a Muslim is married a Hindu, and then that would be nasty.
Indeed. Right, I'm trying to get this to post. Oh, there we are. Right, I forgot to post the YouTube link on the 20 megabyte page, which good at multitasking as I am, I've just done. Even though we already started the show, so but there were two people watching on YouTube anyway, so some people are ahead of the game. Right then, so where do we get up to? Right, so they've arrived at the farm and meet Umbro. We've had Prem for Premier League and Umbro for the brand of certain Premier League clubs. Pardon?
Umbreen.
Have you? Yes. Are you? Well, that's very nice of you, but we're currently looking at Doctor Who. Right, so there's obviously a wedding happening, and Yaz is a bit shocked to discover that she's marrying Prem and not the bloke in the picture that she saw back in the flat. So, and also what we forgot to mention is when they were heading back, the Doctor had a bit of a funny turn. She had some sort of psychic projection in her head that she didn't like very much. Then we meet Prem's brother, Manish. Not a very nice chap. Yes. Or he comes across as being a very nice chap right at the beginning.
Yes, he comes across as quite childlike.
Yes. But he quickly turns back into the hut to follow his brother. right, so yeah. So I'm just moving on a bit. So, where it hasn't got a fast forward facility, it does make it rather difficult for me to find appropriate bits. So I'll tell you what I will say while we're talking about this. The cinematography on this episode is amazing.
Oh, yes.
That even the internal studio shots incredibly lit, because
the lighting in this is phenomenal.
Yeah, and the dust and the it's just incredible direction and stuff. So it does make
Jamie Childs, who directed the first episode.
Oh, okay, but this is much better in regards to the lighting and the feel of it.
Yes,
now, like I say,
the first episode just felt like an episode, whereas this feels artistic.
Yes, it's beautiful. I mean, it feels like you're watching a movie. I mean, if you go to the cinema and watch this episode, it wouldn't be out of place. And a lot of TVs like that now.
I would prefer if this was in the cinema, to be honest.
Why? Oh, okay. I'm just moving on. So, there's a little bit of a hint of a, because obviously the thing came over the radio that partition is happening, and then that's when, is it Manish turned and became a bit horrible? And basically, they were drawing a line
about the announcement, and so he'd wandered off with flags to mark where the borders were while they were listening to the announcement, and then he just acted very arrogant.
He's part of the. If you go on a bit further in the bit where that guy's talking on the radio, that's actually him.
Him? Who's him? Who?
On the radio, the broadcast about everybody coming together on the morning of the partition.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
He is the one in the voice. He's the voice in that bit.
Is
so
it?
He's part of. Yeah, he's part of the. You know all along that he's part of the. One of the gangs.
I didn't pick up on that.
Obviously.
I didn't pick up on that, but never mind. Right, so the Doctor has another funny turn. She sees more of these aliens, and then they find the holy man dead in the forest. And but a couple of these aliens, we don't know what they're called yet, are hovering around.
It sounded very much like Cybermen in that scene.
There's a limit to what a voice ring modulator. There's a limit to what a ring modulator can do. I nearly said that word, that line, without any problems. So anyway, they find the body, and of course they see these aliens, and Prem has actually seen them before. I think we get a flashback to the previous time that he met them, which was in a war. one of his friends, or brothers, actually, one of his brothers was dead, wasn't it? So I couldn't know. Yeah. When they said brothers, sometimes brothers in arms can be called brothers, whether they're actual brothers or they're just people you fight with.
But so Manish mentions him later on. It is his actual brother.
Actual brother, yes. Which I was slightly confused about, but they did clear it up later on. I'm just moving on. So, yeah, the doctor at this point, they find a little dome, and then they get transmatted into this sort of spaceship thing, and which is quite cool.
The Jerrian Hive.
Yeah, what I do like about that is that she starts saying a sentence and continues it as they land inside, which was really good.
I love the effect of the transport as well.
And that looked like it should have been the blooming TARDIS console room.
Yes.
Another room that should have been the console room.
So many lovely looking TARDIS console rooms this season, other than the TARDIS console room.
So anyway, the aliens do come out, and what are the aliens called?
Vajarians.
That's a very familiar name, that Vajarians. I've heard that somewhere before, or I feel like I've heard it somewhere before, because it's quite similar to other named aliens in Doctor Who, but we'll let that one pass. So she meets the Vajarians, who initially come across as being a bit mean and horrible, and she threatens them and says, this place is protected by me, blah de blah de blah, because she knows them to be assassins, but at this point she doesn't know that they've changed their ways somewhat. So we're led to believe that they're assassins and they're there to kill various people, and of course they get beamed back onto the surface. And the doctor then nicks all their little transmat devices that are sort of attached to the trees. So as she can use
miniaturized
them.
Miniaturized transmat devices. Yeah, clever.
Very exciting.
And confiscated.
Yeah, that was a great line. That was going to be my quote if I could have remembered it. I did like that one. So, yeah, so they go back to the farm where the doctor. Actually, she has a plan. I can't remember what the plan was, actually, because I've only seen this twice. Obviously, they're all quite keen to make this wedding happen, even Yaz, for one reason or another.
I figured out what the plan was.
Yes?
They were trying to escape from the Thajarians, and so she goes to the barn and sets up the transmat locks, the miniaturized ones, and kind of creates a barrier so they can't get inside the barn. And she wanted to find out what the mysterious dust that was on the holy man, on his body, she wants to find out what that is, and she couldn't really get a reading, so she needed a safe place to do that.
Okay. Something's just dawned on me. Using my phone as the video link for YouTube, if I get a phone call, that's rather scuppered, that, isn't it?
Probably.
Blast. Okay, let's hope I don't then. Right then, or at least if Deb phones me, she phones me on the landline, which she won't do. It's all gone a bit wrong, really, isn't it? Right then, yes. Yeah, so, like you say, I'm just moving on a little bit.
That should be a line in Doctor Who. It's all gone a bit wrong, really, hasn't it?
I do like the bit where they all. I forgot to mention this.
There must be one somewhere.
When they all get back, they run back to the. The boys run back to the farm, and they all have lost the doctor, I've lost the doctor, and then she's running them back in the opposite direction. Yeah, which is really good. So, the doctor. What is she making there? She's obviously set about making something.
She's trying to break down some. She's trying to break down what's in the jar that they nicked.
Yeah, the substance.
Oh, yes, yeah. And they find it's dust, isn't it? It's
bits. She needs a whole lot of stuff, like water and bark and ox spit, a bit of chicken poo.
Yeah,
and a biscuit. Yes. Why a biscuit? I love biscuits.
Yeah. No, she said biscuits, not custard creams, which seems to be the specific biscuit of preference. All right, fair enough. Right, so anyway, after a bit of kerfuffling, what are they called again?
Vajarians.
reappear. They break through the as the doctor predicted, this block that she put on, and she gets teleported back into the ship, where she gets an explanation. They're not assassins anymore. They're witnesses. That's the word. Witnesses to the deaths of people, and rather gorily, that there's lots of sort of heads floating around above their heads. So they're
now. I have a theory because they mentioned that they became these witnesses after their homeworld was destroyed. It wasn't named, but I bet that was the Stenza.
Oh, Well, we thought it was a Stenza anyway, when because the outfits are quite similar, you know, and then we really obviously can see their faces, so it isn't. But when they first appeared, we did actually think it was the Stenza. Anyway, right, so she changes her tune and realises that, of course, then they tell her that the next person to die is going to be Prem, and, of course, they can't stop that happening. So she goes back and tells...
Because if they do stop that from happening, then Yasmin's timeline would change, and that means there'd be no Yaz. We can't have a universe without Yaz.
Well, we could have, but for the point of this episode, I suppose it's quite... No, I don't mind Yaz, to be fair.
She's fantastic.
Yeah, so... she tells the others that Prem's got to die, and there's some very moving scene, especially with Graham when he gives Prem a hug and says he's a good man
Bradley
and stuff
Walsh
like that.
Walsh is amazing.
He is amazing, and my Deb keeps moaning, oh, they should have had him as the Doctor. I said, if they'd chosen him as a Doctor and announced him as the Doctor without having actually seen him in action, all hell would have broken loose. So, yes, I thought all along that... I thought all along. Well, I don't mind that Doctor being a woman. I think Jodie's fantastic, but Bradley would have been a fantastic Doctor.
Phenomenal.
Pardon?
She's phenomenal.
She's phenomenal. I'm not doubting that. But the trouble of having Bradley as the companion means that they can't really have him as the Doctor now. I mean, he would be a great Doctor. But he's still good. I'm not going to play. I just hope they keep him... for the next series, which they've announced is going to be made.
Yes.
But there's a big rumour that there's not going to be any Jodie or Chibnall after it.
That's a shame.
But we don't know it's true yet. It's not... You know what I mean?
I would be very surprised if Chibnall's going to leave after just two, to be honest. It seems really short for a show.
Might have had a better offer from Hollywood or something.
Maybe.
Really?
Well, apparently Moffat did, didn't he?
Sorry.
Moffat had three of them pies.
I mean, his script's not that imaginative.
Yeah, but Moffat had three pies to stick his thumbs in. He had, obviously, Sherlock, Doctor Who, and Tintin, didn't he? So that would be his thing. Anyway, moving on. Hang on, I've got a bit of a wind there. Right then, so some very moving scenes in which they prepare for the wedding, and they have, the wedding. And I don't know. Yaz seems to get something in her eye because she's wiping tears away left, right, and centre.
She always cries at weddings.
Yes, that's what she said. And I don't mean that in Ben's Ben's in that way. So the Doctor is asked to officiate at the wedding, and she said something about her own religion, didn't she? Which people are moaning about. Some people, not everybody, are moaning about the implementation of the Doctor being. Religious. I don't think it's a religion as we would look at it, to be fair. I mean, she's a Time Lord, so there must be some sort of mystical connections and stuff like that within her life and everything, and telepathy and the Matrix and all sorts of things that the Time Lords that we know of. But anyway, so I haven't got a problem with the Doctor being slightly or respecting religions, at least.
Exactly. It's respectful. Like in... what's that one? The Sarango conundrum, the way she took part in that.
Yeah,
prayer,
we've had similar things like that during this series anyway, but never mind. So also I forgot to mention, obviously, the Doctor asks the Vajorians. Is that right?
Vajorians.
No, I said Vajorians because it sounds like another alien in Doctor Who.
Mm.
Bajorians? No, that's Star Trek, isn't it? Anyway, moving on. I will say, though, that, is it Manish? At some points, he doesn't half look like an Asian Harry Potter when he's got his glasses on. But he has his sort of fringe down, so you can't see the zigzag scar on his forehead. So the Doctor actually knows that Manish is going to be heavily part of Prem's death. But anyway, they go about their very respectful last days for Prem. And I have an inkling that Prem knows that something's going to happen, but because I think it's the way they're all treating him and stuff like that, that he knows that something's afoot.
And that speech he gives about how we fought together and we were united, but now we're divided and we think that our differences are greater than our similarities. I think that was him realizing that something is going to happen.
Yep, I can't deny that you are correct. Yeah, so anyway, so some evil people on horseback, well, not really evil, they're just Indians, on horseback come along to have a confrontation with the village. So they get the girls out, get them to run off while Prem goes to sort of defend them in some way or just hold them back for a few minutes. And this is the point in which, obviously, it leads to the Doctor and her team sort of coming. They sort of stand on the hill, then the witnesses turn up. The Bajorans, or whatever they're called, and said, right, we take over from here, and they go back to the TARDIS, and they hear the gunshot, which was a bit of a shame. I'm glad they didn't actually show him being shot, because that would have been a bit horrible.
It was so tactfully done.
Yeah. But we had to hear the gunshot just to know it had happened.
That was much, much better, the way they just flinched as the gunshot happened.
Yeah.
They kept walking because, you know...
It's like Children of Earth where Capaldi shot his family. You didn't see it, but it's so much more powerful.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, so they... That's it. They go back to the TARDIS and then we go back to Yaz's flat and she has a bit of a loving conversation with her nan, but doesn't have to know now certain aspects of the watch and whatever... You know, Nan could tell her. She said she would tell her, but she doesn't have to tell her now.
Yeah, but I think her Nan obviously knows who she is from, because it was such an important part of her young life.
Yeah.
So she knows exactly what's happened.
Yeah. So that essentially is it. Right then, so very, very good.
Then we
good
get
episode.
The most beautiful version of the theme tune.
Oh, well, that's recorded. Lovely, wasn't it? I forgot to mention that. Yeah, the spooky singing sort of humming, larring, or whatever you want to call it, of the theme tune. It's absolutely beautiful. That's going to have to be downloaded somewhere along the line and kept for yes. certain things. I loved it. So, yes, brilliant episode. Lovely. Another historical. I'm glad they're doing historicals within Living Memory historicals, as I've done a couple of times.
Agreed.
Certainly on a par with Rose. I preferred this to Rose, to be fair. I did like Rose. I think it's a fantastic episode, but I actually preferred this.
I agree. They're my two favourites of this year.
Beautifully written, beautifully directed, just beautiful. And I haven't sort of seen anybody else's opinions on it really that much. But yeah, I really, really loved it. I'm glad that we go from a duffer episode a few weeks ago to a superb episode like this. I just wish sometimes they could be a bit more consistent to a certain extent. But that's what Doc 2 is always like for some reason. What do you think of it then, Rhys?
I love it. I was a bit upset to miss out talking about Rosa, because that was...
We can talk about Rosa now if you like, darling.
Favorite.
Please do.
Talk about Rosa as well?
Yeah, of course you can.
Okay. Well, I thoroughly enjoyed Rosa. I was... I knew a bit about Rosa Parks, but I liked how educational it was, which people have mentioned a lot, that was Doctor Who's original premise to kind of... use time travel to educate children and families. And it certainly shed more light on it for me. And I enjoyed how powerful it was. I enjoyed that. I know there are lots of people complaining that it's become very PC and very political, but not really. It's just using time travel to go back to an era where there was more segregation than there is now.
Yeah.
And this episode did a similar thing. Yeah. And I just really appreciate how much I learned, especially...
Absolutely.
From this episode.
Absolutely.
I didn't know much about the partition, to be honest, and I'm a little bit ashamed that I didn't, because, like you said, it's in living memory. In fact, my uncle was born the year that Rosa Parks sat on the bus. Like, my uncle's still around now, and it's that close within living memory. And this is a bit earlier than that, but it's so recent, and it's so... monumental for that part of the world. It was a huge change. They literally just tore a country apart.
Yeah.
And I'm very grateful that I learnt that from one of my favorite shows, and it was just done tactfully and powerfully and quite beautifully. Like you said, Adam, this is a very well shot episode, and I think this whole season has been a step up in terms of cinematography, and the cameras that they're using are literally cameras that they use on movies nowadays, and it just shows. It's a very beautiful season, and this episode was just amazingly done. Like at the end, when the Tajarians had witnessed Prem's death, and then they transported back to their hive and had his head floating there, and then it showed the rest of the heads floating there. It then transitions to a shot from above of the TARDIS, and just little things like that look really nice. And it's very blue and cold in their hive, and then the TARDIS is quite a warm coloured location. So little bits of detail like that are just beautiful. And there isn't much I can say about this episode other than I loved it and I respect every element of it. The music was beautiful and very authentic because Sagar Nakanola, the composer, got in some Hindu performers and some very authentic instruments from that place in the world, and it sounds wonderful. And like I said, tactfully written, looks beautiful. I just love it.
Good. Thank you for that, Reese. Debbie, what did you think?
Bit hard to add to that, really.
Okay, bye then.
Sorry.
it's fine. No, I don't really have many words really to say about this other than it was brilliant. And yeah, Rosa is still pipping it just slightly, but because I knew so much more about Rosa than I knew about Partition, this was a great history lesson. This was beautifully shot, beautifully acted, really good episode. And it made up, because obviously I didn't speak last week about last week's episode, Saranga, and I found that was really silly, and to then be hit with this one again, you know, like the way Rosa hit you, we were all just sat here watching almost open mouthed, and yeah. Isla was full of questions about it, you know, and she was so worried about them, and she'd said at the beginning that the aliens were goodies. She'd said that as soon as she brilliant. Saw them. Said, I bet they're goodies, she said. And I said, why is that? She said, well, not all aliens are baddies, are they? And I was like, well, there you go.
It's working. Yeah. That's what this whole season's about.
Exactly. And so she was just sat there. She was like, oh, this is amazing. They shot the man. They shot him. They shouldn't have shot him. That's her granddad. And I had to go back and explain that it's not her granddad. You know, she completely lost track of that bit. But she knew the aliens were goodies. And I just thought it was such a... We've had a couple of really good thinking, well-written episodes, and it's just so sad that this series is up, down with the writing and the quality, and it's such a shame because I'm not enjoying it. I'm anticipating next week's because we've had a really good episode to be poor, and I'm hoping not, you know, that sort of thing. And fortunately, last night wasn't as bad, shall we say, but yeah, it's the up-down.
Excuse me, I haven't seen last night's, you naughty girl.
I know, that's why I've not said anything.
Spoiler alert.
Well, obviously that means it's not as good.
It's a lot better than the other silly one, I must say.
All right, shut up, Debbie.
Arachnids in the UK?
Yeah. But, yeah, it was brilliant. It's up there as a favourite, again, like with Rosa. And to have two such episodes in New Who like that is astounding. Mm-hmm. And it just makes me hopeful. And it's so sad to hear that Jodie Whittaker's last series might be, she might just do another series.
So sad to hear it might be. It's a big might at the moment.
It might not happen. It might happen. It's rumours, I know.
It's rumours right now.
But
to be honest, we heard rumours that Matt Smith would be leaving after his first season as well. So I give them those credence.
I'm hoping that it's just a silly rumour because I think she's got so much more to do.
Indeed. Yes. Got it.
And I've got one more thing to say about the episode. I actually think this is the darkest that Doctor Who has gotten in a long time because as soon as Prem stepped out of the door, you realise that, oh my God, they're actually going to do it. They're going to have him get shot. And it was because of his brother's command that he gets shot.
Yeah.
And it's that's such a dark concept.
Yeah.
Family betrayal and family murder is just, oh.
But that's only touching on you know, a hint of what actually went on in Partition. Oh, yeah. So, yeah. But, yeah, it was good. Okay. We've got some feedback. Mainly from Kirby's request, Joshua Dybel said, love this story to bits, 9 out of 10, little to fault, and this episode was uplifting, as I haven't enjoyed other episodes much, with the exception of Rosa, just hoping that coming episodes can match this one. I've just started watching Series 10 again to get some proper Doctor Who. Though I'm generally enjoying the new series, it's not hitting the spot for me. It's okay, but there's issues. No real threats from villains, weak stories, and Jodie's not the Doctor for me yet. Is this grimacing expression, her trademark is a photograph of her, yeah, doing the silly, yeah, she has, does do rather strange sort of face, doesn't she, sometimes. Terry Miles, hi Adam Pearson, I enjoyed this one because it goes back to the original BBC idea of informing an historical story, showing viewers the problems that Indian and Pakistan, I think I should say Pakistanis, went through when the British decided it was time to pull out. The thousands of people that were killed, all in the name of religion, once again. The wife did not know about the reason for the partition, only that there had been some trouble, which is still, it still seems to be around now. All in all, I'm enjoying this year's Doctor Who. On the subject of Jodie being the Doctor, I think it's because I've watched the Doctor since it started, no Kirby Butler, so not 2005, but 1963. I only think of the Doctor as being from another planet, not male or female. Thank you, Terry. Then Ian posted his script. Come back to that in a minute. Lillian Robin says, second best story this series, powerful. I wonder what happens when the ex-assassins in this story get to someone to commemorate at the same time as the glass testimony from Twice Upon a Time try to upload their memories. Yeah, it was a bit similar to that, I suppose. Do they toss a coin? Sorry, Huns. You are recording too early for me, so I won't be watching the live stream. Well, I hope you listened to the episode, Lillian. And thank you for that particular shot you did of your legs at the bottom of the stairs. I really did enjoy that one. That was
what,
it.
The one where Jeff Waddle was like, quick, there's another
That was fun. Well, she did two. One was a sort of slightly more risque angle, and the other one, where does look like she's fallen down the stairs. Somebody could have got that picture and just superimpose some blood on it, just sort of really sort of give the impression.
Oh,
but
no, yeah.
No, maybe not. Okay. Right then, let's move further into the feedback realm. I haven't got my facility for jingles today, apart from the bell, which I'm not using anyway.
Well, shall we just do it ourselves?
What? Go on then. Forget that.
Demons of the Punjab by Vinay Patel. Another grim historical about intolerance. In 1947, Great Britain agreed to give India its independence, but divided it into two nations, India and Pakistan, based on religious majority populations. Millions fled from each side of the border to the other. The British authorities estimated 200,000 died in the violence, but it might have been as many as 2 million. The province of Punjab was the worst affected, and ended with few people left on the wrong side of the border. Yasmin's grandmother, who was a Muslim, married Prem, a Hindu, on the first day of independence. Prem's brother, Manish, is furious and takes part in the murder of Prem. The TARDIS crew are unable to protect Prem, as if he survives, then Yasmin will cease to exist. Also, the monsters from the story Father's Day might turn up, but this is not mentioned. As in previous New Who, love is the most powerful force.
Yeah. Oh, play Queen's version.
Yes. Go watch Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
Now.
Thank you, Ian, but play Queen's version next time. Right.
Yes. I was 14, sorry.
What, when Queen had that version out? What are you talking about?
No, Bohemian Rhapsody, when Freddie Mercury died.
What a cracking movie that is.
Was my 14th birthday number one hit.
It's one of my favourite films of all time, Bohemian Rhapsody. Isabella has been suddenly converted into a Queen fan. She rather shows herself. I went to pick her up from badminton last week, and she was all quiet listening to something on her earphone. So I put a Queen track, just play it out on my phone. This was at 7:30 at night or whatever. And she started dancing as we walked home. People walking around looking at her in a funny way, but she was enjoying herself. But so she's suddenly become a Queen fan, heavily influenced by the magnificent movie that is Bohemian Rhapsody. Even though the slight, you know, know, the bit where he finds out he's got AIDS actually happened after Live Aid. But we'll gloss over that because it did add to the story. They had to cover it somehow and they wanted to finish it at Live Aid, so that's fair enough. But yeah, fantastic movie. Can't wait till it's out so I can watch it over and over again. There's not a lot of films I watch over and over again. One is Click, because I just love it. And I will be watching, because you can sort of thing, you can just have it on the background, don't necessarily have to watch it, because you can just listen to the music and stuff. It's a fantastic movie. Right, Doctor Who news. Demons of the Punjab, overnight viewing figures, 5.77 million now. Quite similar to the viewing figures of the episode that went out last night, which will be 5.9 million and one, because I haven't watched it yet, so by the time I get to watch it, and the rest of the family. But yeah, I think it's still doing okay. Doctor Who is slightly higher than the previous series at the moment. They did shoot themselves in the foot.
2 million viewers since last year, so it's
Yeah. But they did shoot themselves in the foot with arachnids, I'm afraid, because obviously the viewing figures up to there were actually really good. But it was enough to commission another series, so that's good. In Big Finish, Jenny meets the Fifth Doctor. Because Georgia Tennant is playing alongside her father, Peter Davison, in a Big Finish production. Official ratings for Saranga Conundrum ended up at 7.76 million. Woohoo! That's good. And I say, after second viewing, I really quite enjoyed that episode. And after third viewing, I enjoyed it even more. So they need to get it so you can enjoy it as much on the first viewing as you do on the third viewing. But
I enjoyed it on my first and only viewing.
Did you?
And it might remain that way for a while.
No, I liked it quite a lot. There's a bit of silliness. It's not the greatest. It's just a stand-up Doctor Who episode, middle of the park for me. But if it gets to that point, I've enjoyed it and I'll watch it again at some point. I think it's a very pretty episode again with the sets and everything. But good stuff.
I agree. Control room of that ship should be the TARDIS console.
Yeah, well, we said that on several occasions. Right, yes.
What is with the healing lamps? You know, what do they call them?
Don't know.
The Tibetan healing lamps, salt lamps or something.
Oh, the salt lamps, yeah.
What's with that in the TARDIS?
Don't know, mate.
I don't get it.
Don't worry about it. But they'll come in handy some point in the future. Episodes 9 and 10 titles have been revealed. We've got It Takes You Anyway, written by Ed Heim. So that's something to look forward to. It's not written by Chris Chibnall. Episode 10 is called Battle of Ranskor Av Kolos. And that is written by Chris Chibnall. So I wonder if that's going to bring back the Stetsons.
Stetson.
Yeah. Maybe, I don't know. Christmas special has moved to New Year's Day. This is an appalling bit of news.
No, it's better than not getting anything.
Oh, I agree with that, but it's not a Christmas special if it's on New Year. Lord.
Also, let's be honest, how tenuous were they connecting it to Christmas?
Yeah. But they bung in Christmas throughout the series, even when it's not actually shown at Christmas. I seem to remember Series 1, Episode 2, 3, Episode 3, Series 1. Of the new series was set in at Christmas with Charles Dickens, etc., etc. So they're moving it to New Year's Day, so there'll be a bit of a gap between the last episode of the current run and this special. So I'm not going to talk any more about that. There's a graphic novel called The Phantom Piper coming out, which looks like a 12th Doctor story. So not a very good drawing of Peter Capaldi, but there you go. I'll have to live with that. Doctor Who magazine 532 is out. Get it from whoone.co.uk.
Whoone.co.uk.
Yeah, and it's got a picture of Yaz and the Doctor on the cover. I tell you what, did anybody watch... we might not have done in Australia, but I'm sure it's available online somewhere. But the children need Doctor Who parts.
Yes.
So you've seen that little girl with cystic fibrosis. Yeah. Wow, that was so lovely.
Pulling my eyes out.
Didn't make me cry. I just thought it was a lovely, lovely, to go in there and open up that box and have that miniature cosplay, perfect cosplay, I should say, for the Doctor. They've got it. You can actually, if you haven't seen it, if you go to DoctorWhoNews.net, they've got a link for it, so you can actually watch that beautiful little piece. well worth watching as well. And Kablam overnight figures, haven't seen it yet. As I said, 5.93 million.
Add one to whatever it is.
And one. And three, to be fast, because obviously the rest of us have got to watch it as well. So that's Doctor Who news. And somebody next door is drilling.
I've got a bit of news.
Have you? You're not pregnant again, are you?
Yeah.
Congratulations!
No, I'm not.
Hey?
It's William Russell's 94th birthday today.
Oh, wow. Doing well, isn't he? 94.
That's
good innings, isn't it? Oh, that's nice news. At least we're not reporting a death. That's really, really good. Sorry, Debbie.
I'm very happy about that, yeah.
Debbie?
Yeah?
Oh, you sound like you're going to say something.
No.
That makes a change.
Thanks.
I wonder what happened to Mary. She's probably getting up now to do the show. I have to listen out for her. Right then, so whowon.co.uk, where you can buy lots of Christmas items. And lots of books as well. That's a good place to get books because they specialise in Doctor Who books. So if you like, Target novels and Doctor Who magazines and stuff like that, that's a good place to prioritise your Doctor Who stuff. In fact, if you really want to buy your friend, lover, whatever, a Doctor Who item, look at Who won first before you go to all the other suppliers because it's all there. So, that's the place to go, isn't it, Deb?
Yeah.
Yeah. whowon.co.uk. I'm not even going to list down what they've got because it's the same stuff as last week. I mean, you can get the hard copies of Big Finish items, which of course you can still download directly from Big Finish, but it's nice sometimes to have something tangible in your hand.
I've got quite a few on CD. I quite like being able to just go off to the shelf and pick along rather than just going on my computer. Yeah. I still do like the visceral aspect of it.
Yes, indeedy.
Yeah. Love it.
So that's Who won. Lavazzi. Now, all I'm going to say about Lavazzi, I'm not going to go through the usual blurb about Lavazzi and scarves. I saw a girl on the boat last night having one. I sort of tried to sort of flap part of my scarf at her as she went past, but she didn't see. A new Christmas jumper is out, and I've got mine. It's come through the post, and you would have missed out on a 15% off offer that was on the 20th of October Doctor Who podcast Facebook group.
I started a new job, so I don't get paid till the end of
that. Excuses. It's now at full price, but it's still a beautiful jumper. And they're a limited supply. So, because somebody, Melinda actually commented on the thread when people were asking about more Christmas items and lady sizes. I don't think with jumpers, does it really matter if they're a lazy shape? It's a jumper at the end of the day, isn't it?
I've got one Christmas jumper, and apparently I have to wear one every time I'm in the post office in December. I said, well, it's going to get very tatty.
Well, I fortunately have another Doctor Who jumper upstairs somewhere in the box, so it'd be nice to have be able to alternate them. But yeah, this is a lovely black and white thing with Daleks, TARDISes, and Cybermen, and all sorts of Doctor Who stitched items on it. It's a fantastic jumper. They might have a few left. If you really want a Doctor Who jumper, because the old one, I don't think the BBC one is actually available anymore. The only place you can get a decent, proper Doctor Who jumper is now through lavazzi.co.uk. So that's the way to... Now's the time to get it. It's halfway through November. In fact, I'm over halfway through November. Heading towards December, which is essentially Christmas. Because Christmas used to be like the 25th of December. Now it's December. So... Go and get your Christmas jumper from Lavazzi. Right then, I wonder if Mary does come on, all we've got time to do is just get her opinions on the thing. So I don't know if she's actually going to show up. But I think she's done a Kirby.
We all had to dash into work. It'll be she'll have a proper reason,
she wouldn't be dashing to work at 4 a.m. That's essentially it. Right then, so next week, I'm just going to have a look at my calendar. Can you hear that vibration noises? That's next door. They've been making horrible building noises for at least 6 weeks now. But they're making horrible noises now at the moment, making grinding noises, drilling into my wall. I hope the house stays up. Today is the 19th. It's Debbie's birthday on the 24th, not yours, Alpha Debbie. So as far as my I can make out, there's a realm for recording on the 25th of November. So that's what I'm aiming at. Although, if something happens that I'm unaware of that I haven't actually put in my diary, it could end up being back to the 26th of November after all. But we'll have to see what happens with that one. We'll pencil in the 25th.
I should be free both of those.
Good girl. Yeah, so that's it. And we'll be reviewing the episode that was on last night that I haven't watched yet. So, yes, I don't expect you to get up in the early hours of morning, Reese. So, but obviously, we do move it to Monday. I'll be dropping you a line.
Reese, can I just ask, did you enjoy it?
I did.
Good.
Okay. I very much enjoyed it. And it I think you were saying earlier that because we had an excellent episode, you...
Me.
Your expectations were down?
Yeah, I forgot that.
Oh, it was you, was it? No.
Yeah. I had the same feeling. I was a bit concerned maybe that Kablam would be, you know, flat, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, enjoyed it. Yeah, worked.
Well, before we go, we'll look down some of the stuff that's being on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group.
Did that send any feedback for me to read?
No. you're lucky. Right, yeah, so Jeff Waddle said, despite all the rumours... Jeff Waddle said, despite all the rumours, new season to be aired 2019, confirmed by the BBC, strong rumours at Whittaker's Last, though, and Chibnall's. Well, I'd say, I don't know... Obviously, the BBC announced this, but I'm pretty sure they wouldn't have put in the announcement possibly Chibnall and Whittaker's Last. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So it's partly fact, partly fiction, should we say, on that one. Richie Williams, I'm not sure whether he's trying to replace himself as Jeff Waddle. Says regeneration, hopefully, too. Well, obviously, if Whittaker's leaving, there will be a regeneration, I would have thought. And Jeff Waddle said, I'd like to see her under a different showrunner, no pun intended. But she always said she'd go when he wants. She'd go when he went. Oh, yeah, sorry. Never thought she'd do more than 2 years, to be fair. Richie Williams, Jeff Waddle, honestly, I lasted one episode. So this is when he thinks that Richie is, in fact, Jeff Waddle. They've actually swapped bodies. So it goes on. A little tete-a-tete between the two of them, where obviously Richie doesn't like... bit of a Ben, really. He doesn't like the idea of having a woman doctor. And Jeff clearly loves having a woman doctor, or just likes having Jodie as the doctor. Patty Tiller says, I am like with Smith. Only a few of the lighter episodes I want to see again. We'll watch Tennant and Capaldi at the drop of a hat, though. Well, there you go. So that's quite an interesting conversation. I'm not going to go through the whole lot. Ian Kirk says, what happened to the third Doctor's companion, Jo Grant? She went to the Amazon. Funny what pops into your head. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, there's a few bits and bobs about. There was a meeting, for those of you interested in Ryde, from all the Isle of Wight cosplayers and me, because I'm not an Isle of Wight cosplayer, but I went along with the hope there might be some event happening on the island next year. But all we got pardon?
Just one event rather than millions.
Well, yeah, they seem to be. I mean, the cosplayers, I think it's quite a good idea if they want to get together and do little club meetings in their cosplay. But I don't think it has the same impact as having an event where you can go as a cosplayer and the general public can come in and enjoy having their picture taken with the cosplayers. I think that's what makes a con like Island Con a magical thing. Cosplayers will go along, they can't, you know, they're just dressing up. You can do that in a carnival, you can do that anywhere if you really want to. But yeah, so everybody went along. Some people wanted to have an event like Island Con, and some people just wanted, mainly the cosplayers, some of them wanted to get together at regular events in car parks and get dressed up. Not for me, really. I think, you know, if we're going to have an event. Also, they were scared of using the term con, because that would have had connotations with Island Con. Well, Island Con are not the only convention in the world, are they? A convention is a convention at the end of the day. It's just a tag to, so as people, geek-minded people, know it's a convention and know, oh, that might be something interesting to go to, whether it be a Doctor Who convention, a comic convention, or any convention for that matter. You know, if I had a Star Trek convention nearby that I could afford to go to, I'd go to it, you know, because it's a con. Comic Con's the same. I'd love to take Isabella to London Comic Con. So if I was arranging an event, I'm still looking into it, it would be a con. And that's that. But yes, as far as doing a Doctor Who convention on the island is concerned, still looking into it. I'm still asking questions of various people, looking for somewhere to put it. I want to do one, and it doesn't cost me anything, so I can't really afford anything. But so if we can get something going that's definitely going to pay for itself, we'll do it. but we've just got to get some support. That's one good thing about the cosplayer community. It doesn't matter if they're not Doctor Who fans or Doctor Who fans. If I posted something on there, so right, we've got this event happening, they would support it and spread the word and probably attend it, even if they're not particularly Doctor Who fans. So yeah, it's embryonic at the moment, but we'll still be, you know, trying to get something going. Once we actually get something tangible, I'll be enlisting Mrs. Melrose and Mr. Wilson, who's very, well, not you, but you'll be enroped in whether you like it or not, Debbie, but Paul Wilson's actually contacted me to, you know, to say, oh, if you're going to do something, you know, count me in.
No, I told you that already. Whatever you're going to plan and do, count me in. Okay. And Tom.
I have plans, but it's just their plans at the moment. So it's not anything. Yeah, once I know...
No plan at all, so there you go.
Unfortunately, being as busy as I am, I can't do the whole thing on my own, but I can lay the foundations down for it and be a figurehead for it, but obviously I would need help in certain departments, like you know, just sort of communicatory things when I'm not always available to do things, websites and all stuff like that, really. But yeah, so hopefully, fingers crossed, even if it doesn't happen next year, maybe the year after, I don't know, but it does need support, and it does need to sell tickets to make it work, because there's what is definite, if there's a bill at the end of it, I can't pay it. So I'm not going to do what Island Con did, just sort of spend all the money on going on holidays. I'll be doing it to you know, make it an event that we can have money in the pot for the following year. But there you go. Anyway, so thank you for listening and watching and joining us for the show. Sorry Mary couldn't be here, and Kirby and anybody else for that matter, but hopefully they'll be here next week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
By Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production, sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.